Hello, my dear friends, and welcome to another episode of Let Spirit Speak. And I am Alan Holmes, your guide, I suppose, in this podcast. I'm very sorry that I've been remiss in these last several weeks putting out a new podcast episode. I have been rather busy in many good ways, and one must be grateful for it all as it comes to you. And today I wanted to talk about the auric field, which is one of my favorite subjects. It's one of my favorite practices, actually, when I'm doing readings or even in demonstrations, if the conditions are right, to see auras fairly clearly. You know, and the auric field is such a reflection of our inner being, our thoughts, the emotional power behind those thoughts, our intentions, our practices, our habits, our addictions. Yes, the good, bad, and ugly are all there, and that goes for all of us. And just the what's possible when you look at the auric field and sense it and feel it, to what you can actually pick up from a person, even on the most soul level. You know, what it is that their soul is in this life, what it's doing, what it's trying to achieve, the various avenues that it may take yet because of experiences that it needs to have. And so it's quite extraordinary. And of course, the colors can be quite fantastic, and both in a very high level and also in a way that is showing struggle and confusion, which I've seen many a time. And disappointment and definitely heartbreak. I've seen that several times in my life with people, particularly the crack, what I call right across the heart chakra or right down the middle of the being. It's almost as if the trauma or the experience has been so devastating, it's as if they are cracked in half for a while. And imagine a wound on your skin, like straight down your arm, and it would take a certain time to heal, and it would be sore even after the healing started, and it would gradually improve. And then eventually it would heal and everything would be normal in terms of functionality, but the scar would still be there a bit. It may not even hurt, but you would still see it. And the auric field is something like that, depending on the depth and level of one's experience, and also depends on how we handle it. What is in us that overcomes? What is it in us that is able to reach deeply and say, this was an experience and I understand it and I'm moving on? And again, of course, there's no right or wrong time with that or how that works, but it is a very real situation. Thoughts are energies and vibrations. And I'm going to start with the real positive. I've watched people sitting in deep prayer and meditation during Circle, our development groups at times. And of course, it always works better if there's a white wall around or a wall that has a light colored that is solid. And years and years ago, I mean, I was seeing it when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And you would see people in the deepest prayer meditation and the most beautiful colors coming straight out of the crown chakra. Absolutely bright and powerful, and often prayers that were very deep and coming right from the depth of their being, their heart, their whole and complete soul. They would shoot up like shards of beautiful silvery almost like arrows, and I don't want to say arrows because it sounds like it's almost sounds like we're about to have a war with arrows. But the clarity of the thought, the purposefulness of them, the dedication to the divine, to the attunement in that moment with the spirit world, and of course God, the source of all, was unmistakable. And of course, through that as well, you would see the deep, deep purples of the crown chakra rising up as well. And some of these prayerful thoughts that were these beautiful, silvery, almost gold also colors at times in streams of light would also be mixed with purple or pink or green or blue. Everything that we associate the higher colors of our auric field with our thinking. with our thoughts or prayers. And of course, these are usually then incredibly unselfish thoughts. These are all about healing for others, this service to all, to love all, which always does not mean to agree or to like, but it means you are there in service. And that is such an important part. And then, of course, when they come for a reading, often, you know, the auric fields will be maybe, if they're a little more developed, 4 or 5 feet wide around them. Often it's about 3, 2. And if they're very depressed or they've had a loss or they have really been questioning, you know, going through a level of confusion because life has, you know, been topsy-turvy, that's why a lot of people come to us. Then, of course, the auric field takes on different hues. The colors aren't as bright. If they're depressed or going through difficulty, the colors may be a bit more muted. There might be a bit of gray. And if it's very profound depression, you will often see black patches in the auric field. And you will feel it. So often, you meet a person, you say, boy, they're just not feeling right. I can just the way they were, their body language, their facial expressions, the tone of voice, oh my gosh. And you can feel it. And with the auric field, all that is just going one more step further and you're seeing and feeling it. And it's a very good barometer. It can tell you a lot of different things. The auric field is used by the spirit world to connect with you, through your thoughts. This is the energy field, of course, that's around you. And of course, the more evolved it is, generally speaking, it's easier for the spirit world to be able to, from a higher point of view, to be able to bring the higher influences to you that are more positive and could be doing with healing. It could be doing with your own spiritual gifts. It could be doing with if you are a great scientist and you do a certain sort of practice of prayer or meditation. And there's no one way, by the way. But then they're able to drop in thoughts. And maybe this is where some of our discoveries have come from, because it's, you know, many of the great scientific contributions to the world have actually been happy accidents. And of course, I put accidents in quotation marks. But often it's inspiration that comes and you just do it and you follow through. It can happen in times of real focus on something that you're used to doing very regularly. So it is a very habitual process. So your mind doesn't have to work so hard to produce or to finish the task, and suddenly a different thought comes through your mind. Well, this is coming through the auric field, and it's a thought form. And I have witnessed thought forms coming from the spirit world, encircling and enwrapping a medium, both while they've been doing inspirational talks, mediumship, and particularly trance and healing. Those ones really show different colors that literally seem to come out of a wall or the ceiling. And of course, they're not coming really out of the walls and ceilings, but they are coming from the spirit world. And it is, it could be a guide. Often there's more of a shape if it's a guide. But when it's these beautiful threads of energy and light that come from the spirit world to the medium or the healer or however it is that they're working in that way, they come in these beautiful large patches of color, and sometimes they're deep green, sometimes they're turquoise and mixes of blue and purple and pink and various, and even sometimes a bit of silvery gold will be in the process. And you know it's quite high, a high level. If I'm in the right place and the conditions are right and I can get a view of the auric field as someone's going into trance, as those colors come towards them, it often tells me and gives me a hint of what the inspiration from the spirit world will be. Will it be about healing, which often is preceded by more greens and again, colors we associate with healing, whether it's physical or emotional, etc. If it's a high level philosophical talk, the colors tend to have a bit more purple in them, more even a bit more gold at times. depending on the level, but it's very much seeable, and you will feel it in the room. A lot of people just feel it coming and go, oh my gosh, something special is coming. And then the next thing you know, you're this wonderful inspirational or trance talk is given, or healing is given, and it's beautiful. So it's not just it doesn't, like anything in this work, it never just comes in one way. It can come in many. Again, it's about our awareness. Are we aware enough? And at times we will be. And of course, at other times, our head is filled with life and family and children and bills and whatever else is on your plate that day on the menu to get done and to live through. And it's just, but it's such a wonderful aspect of these spiritual gifts. And I wish more mediums would use it in demonstrations. Very famous medium, and some of you probably know his name, Gordon Higginson. He was quoted telling his students at times that, you know, if you lose the link during a demonstration, then go back to the auric field. Look at the auric field. Feel into it. Feel into the colors, and probably the link with spirit will pick up again. And of course, it does. I've had some lovely experiences, as I've just mentioned, but I've also had some that have been quite devastating with the auric field. I remember when I was a home care worker in 1989, 1990, I was working for a family who their father was a hemophilia, and obviously, and very unfortunately and tragically, he had been infected with the AIDS virus through his transfusions. It was just horrible. And one day I was out shopping at the grocery store, and I ran into his wife. She just happened to be there. And as I walked towards her, our eyes met, and I was walking up to her, obviously, to say hello and et cetera. As I walked up and looked at her, I saw in the middle of the store her auric field and this crack. It was a crack that went down the center of her being, right through her heart chakra, and I felt all of her hurt and pain. And I knew, she knew obviously, that her husband would die shortly, and the fear and the concern for the kids, all of it was just there. And it lasted 3 seconds, and it was just so clear. And it taught me so much about the damage that can be done. You know, we have to be careful with that, because all of these experiences are necessary. Unfortunately, we know, and I'm not saying to do with a particular disease. That's not the point. We go through lifetimes of having such deep disappointments and also great moments of upliftment, and it's all about the soul learning and purpose and our inner growth to eventually get to the point where we understand that we are living it with the souls that we choose to live with, because we do that before we come back into this life. But it's not for us to take on. My guide recently took me into a trance in my one of my groups. And one of the phrases that was spoken back to me by my group was, he said to them, "We are not here to save. We are here to serve." And he wasn't talking about what their role is. He was talking about our role as mediums and healers and just people in general. We are not here to save the world. We are not here to save. But we are here to serve. And the rest of it apparently went on something such as, because we didn't record it. I know, it sounds crazy in this day and age, but we didn't record it. We are not here to save. We are here to serve. And it is in the serving that moments of healing and what we would consider to be the saving occur. But we're not to run around with the idea that we are here to save. And when I came out of it and they said it to me, I thought, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense, of course. Because, you know, people that are into the business of saving, they tend to be in everyone's business, and they always think they have the answer for everybody. A lot of the times, they end up creating more havoc than good, although the intentions are all wonderful. And they don't think, and they don't analyze, and they don't question what they're doing. In our work, as the moment arises, as it comes to us, we deal with it, and then we move on. Because the depth of the need is never ending. There's another generation coming after this one, and another one, and another one. They're all going to have often the same questions and go through many similar experiences, because that's the soul growth that's going on. It's not about the mental growth, it's not about the physical growth, it's about the inner growth in the soul. And that's where the seed really, really is. But back to the auric field. Yeah, beautiful. I would encourage everyone who's living in the Northern Hemisphere right now for the next several months, and particularly over the next couple of months, go out into the, as you're going on a walk, let's say in the woods or in the forest or the park. And if there's a nice blue sky and the sun is behind you, not shining into your eyes because you'll never see them, I want you to look around a tree. And one that's quite strong, like an evergreen that's really open, or a deciduous tree that's quite large and is opening with its buds, and you can see the green. And what you do is you take your eyes and you look slightly off to the side of the tree. That could be slightly above it, slightly to the left, or slightly to the right. But what you want is to be looking for the auric field in the peripheral vision. And you slightly cross the eyes. And so you're looking out at say the ends of the branches or thereabouts, and you will start to see things. Do the same thing with a white candle, a straight white candle that's, maybe 6 inches or so tall, and light it. And it's better in a dark room. It's just because of the way the light is with, the sun and everything. And you will begin to see a rainbow around the candle. Not exactly the way you think a rainbow is, but pretty darn close. And it's very soft, very subtle. Remember, the colors are subtle. The only time the colors are really, really strong, and I might have mentioned this in another podcast episode, because I think I did talk about the auric field before, but it's just, again, such a one of my most favorite exercises to help people with, or to teach them to start to peek at the auric field. Was with someone I had given healing to, and for about 10, 15 minutes after the healing was over, and we were sitting talking, and there was a bit of a lighter color behind him, almost a white wall, not quite, but I saw these flashes of light that were so solid and bright, and they were blue, green, and pink. And of course, that's never happened with anyone else that I've ever had the moment with. And I realized after that it was because his auric field was charged by the healing that had been given. And it was being absorbed into the body. It was working through the auric field. Most auric fields are pastel colors, softer. Although some of them will still be quite strong. You may see flashes of certain colors that hint at interests, that hint at practices, the way they think, emotional, etc., how they perceive the world that way. Very often, not always, but people with addictions have a certain colors and qualities in the auric field. One of the things that definitely can be seen in the auric field is if people are concentrating on a particular thought. Let's say has a real hankering for a type of chocolate bar, and it's a certain type that they're thinking about. If you're looking at the auric field in the right way in the right time, without knowing that this person is thinking these thoughts, often the thought form of that particular item, and in this case, I did say chocolate bar, you will see it come out the top of the head. So if it's a Three Musketeers bar that person's been thinking about and really wanting, as funny as this sounds, you will see it. You can potentially see it. I've seen that many times with various items. But that tells us something, that every thought we have that has a level of concentration or desire attached to it manifests itself more strongly. It goes, so shall we say, into the ether of thought and vibration of thought. And that makes you realize, as you think, so you are. What you focus on, you become. Dangerous. Very dangerous. But also insightful. And it should help us to work towards managing our thoughts more carefully and try to make them loving. And even when you're in a disagreement, try to keep your thoughts at a place of curiosity and inquiry, as opposed to the accusatory and going for the win in an argument. Because going for the win kind of just says that we're not prepared to think ourselves. We're not prepared to learn or to understand. And that shows, right? I saw an auric field of a man who loved money, absolutely loved his money, and he was really great at it. I mean, he was terrific at working through finances and what have you, and he had a lot of money. And he, at one point in his life, had been quite creative and was actually a very good singer, as I found out later. But by this point in his life, he was in his 60s and deep into his 60s, maybe even early 70s. And his auric field showed one day to me. I was just standing with him. And of course, again, there was a wall behind him that was a fairly solid light color. And I wasn't even trying. It just happened. And I saw what I could only tell you was a miser's auric field. It wasn't evil, nothing like evil in that way, but it was very tight around him, and it was orange, and it wasn't bright, colorful orange. It was more murky orange, and almost hints of a bit of brown in there. And I don't mean good brown from the lower regions of that beautiful, vibrant brown that shows balance and attachment, you know, well to the earth in this lifetime and a soul balance. It was brown and very small around him. And I thought, yep, I would never want to do business with him. Not that he would cheat you, but he certainly would make sure that he was taken care of before you in any deal. And I thought, okay, fair enough. But here's also part of it. If you're able to see the auric fields, and you start to, and you start to see them more and more, and you can practice in doctor's offices and in coffee shops, you just don't go up and never say anything to anybody. You do not do that. I'm telling you, you do not do that ever. You will start to see things. And it's like with this work at all, you have to be prepared to accept the good, bad, ugly, because it's all there. If you have good, bad, and ugly inside you, that means somebody else does and you can see it. You can see your own auric field, by the way, at least part of it. If you have a bathroom that has white walls and the mirror is in front of you and behind you is pretty much a blank wall, you can do that exercise that I was telling you by looking just to the side of the head or above the head in on any direction, whether it's left, right, or above. And you will start to see colors. And if you do it right after you've had some deep prayer meditation, particularly in the first days that you try this, you will definitely see some colors. And it's going to surprise you. You can also see it around your hands. So you can put your hand towards a white wall, maybe 4 or 5 feet away. You just do the soft eyes, almost crossing, and then you look and you can start to see colors coming out around your hand. With the physical, you will often see what we call the vital aura or the physical aura first, which is it's a space of gray matter that hovers close to the body. And that's usually what most people see right away. And that's the vital aura. It will tell you, if you know how to feel into it well, generally the health of the person, because it's to do with their health. And then the colors come after that. One of the first colors that people see around the head, because it is the mental state, it shows you the intelligence, the natural intelligence of the person, is yellow, a type of yellow. It won't be gold. If it is, I'll be very surprised. But it could be a very bright and wide yellow, which would tell you the depth of their natural intelligence. It doesn't always mean they're educated, although it can, but you see, that's what you have to be able to feel the difference in. Some people have great natural intelligence, you know, born with high IQ, but maybe didn't finish all the way through university or didn't want to, but they're still super smart. That might be there. There might be other people who aren't as smart but had more education, so the aura will show that in a different way. The yellow won't be as broad or as maybe as deep, but it might be quite intense, which tells you the person has worked very hard at achieving that skill or developing their mind in a way that maybe a lot of people didn't think they would be able to get to. It's just fascinating, because you can go on, and you can read so many books about the auric field and all the different colors and what they mean and what they don't mean. And there are general rules. Yes, there are. However, it can also depend on the day and on the mood of the person. And if they're aimless, the colors are going to be very wishy-washy. There's no set goal within them. They're just, you know, oh, I'm just hanging out, man. And their auric field will look like that. It will look a bit sloppy and weak. You know, it's like somebody who doesn't really make their bedroom, or like it doesn't make their bed in the morning, and it's kind of, you know, piled up and what have you. I'm not going to say it's quite like that, but it gives you that sort of feeling. It's untidy. They haven't quite got where they need to be right now, or they've done that, and now they're in that sort of in-between place in their life, and they're looking for something else. They haven't quite found it. Somebody who's been quite agitated for a while, the outer edges of the auric field will be jagged. And I've seen that. Often when they're somewhat confused, dissatisfied for a long time, maybe even a bit angry, although real anger shows in very bright orange and red. And if it's super intense, it will be very seen and felt. So, practice. Start in nature. Use your candle. Look at yourself in the mirror. Try this and see what happens. I hope this makes up for a little bit of me being away, and I'm sorry about that. But we will get more back into the regular flow. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I sure love talking about it. And I do hope to have some episodes where I'm interviewing people, and we're working on that, trying to get that done. I have definitely been in touch with a web designer, so my webpage is going to have a major overhaul in the next 3 weeks or so. And that's going to be quite, I think, different for everybody to go and take a look at. If you ever want to get a hold of me, please just email me at alanjohnholmes.com, or sorry, alanjohnholmes@yahoo.com. My, of course, email address is www.alanjohnholmes.com, which is the old email, or sorry, old Facebook. Sorry, that's my Facebook address. Sorry, let me say that again. I'm all over the place here. Facebook, or I should say my webpage is www.alanjohnholmes.com. That is my webpage, www.alanjohnholmes.com. And it will be in the notes that I'll put out there. And of course, I've put my phone number out there a few times. So if you wish to get a hold of me for something, please do so. I wish you also very, very well. I hope people had a good Easter and spring break for those of us who were dealing with that with our families in school in the Northern Hemisphere. Other people around the world, I know you're in different cycles of your pathways, etc. But we were having ours, and we're having finally again some lovely spring weather here in Vancouver. So we will have to enjoy it as it comes. I wish you all so very much well and happy contentment. I wish you to be brave. I wish you to be well with God in your heart and your mind, and know that the spirit world is walking with you, with all of us as we go through our life cycles. So thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.